You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Sarah, and this show is called Feeling Sounds, and this is just a show where I play music that makes me feel things and talk about those feelings and the sounds associated with them. Today I have some very special guests with me. It's a band all the way from Victoria, and they're here in Vancouver to play a live show this weekend in the city, and they're called Anteater Eater. Hey guys, how are you doing?
Pretty good. We're all excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys could make it.
I concur. Why don't we go around and introduce ourselves?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'm Callum. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Daniel, I play the drums.
I'm Connor, I play the bass.
I'm Gabe, I play the lead guitar.
Very exciting.
Superior to Callum's regular guitar.
Yeah, so today we're doing this interview in a very unique fashion, something I've never done before. We're actually not currently live. We're pre-recording this interview in my living room just because of COVID restrictions on having guests in the station and things like that. And we actually have a live studio audience of your guys' friends. Amazing. So you guys invited these friends from home that you know, and they're fans of your band?
Hopefully. I would say so. Yes.
I don't remember inviting these people.
Well, that's really exciting. Okay, so I was thinking we could listen to some of your tunes and then talk about them. Actually, today, so it's September 25th, you just released the remaster of your EP. Do you want to tell me about, like, why did you guys decide to get it remastered and, like, what was that process like?
I did the remaster myself. This is Callum talking, in case you forgot what our voices sound like. I mixed our first EP as sort of my first major audio project. And so when I was doing that, I had very little knowledge of, like, basic recording techniques, including mastering and proper EQ.
So
a few months later, I've done a lot more recording, and listening back to this release, that's kind of like the defining picture of what our band is like at the moment. I didn't feel comfortable having it in this sort of roughshod form. So the remaster itself was a pretty quick process. We didn't really re-record or, like, go back together into the studio. We kind of corresponded over text, and I just put all of our original recordings back into Ableton and, like, shopped them so that they were the correct volume. It's not a very fancy remaster, but it just was something that I needed to do to make myself feel happy with the final product.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Also, I feel like something I should mention is you guys, you met in high school, and some of you are still in high school, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're doing this project kind of like on your own, like you recorded and mastered and mixed everything yourself. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, that's really cool. I think that's I don't know. I wish I had been doing that kind of stuff when I was in high school. Okay, so today I think we're going to listen to most of your EP, maybe even all of it, and we're going to listen to the remastered version. Cool. So do you want to introduce the first song on your EP?
Yeah, the first song on the EP is called Hard Reset. It was, I think, the second song we ever rehearsed together. It's a pretty classic, like, pop-punk staple of singing about wanting to get off your ass and do something with your life.
Solid. Okay, so this is Hard Reset by Anteater Eater. Hope you guys enjoy.
I'm sick of hearing it. All these voices around me are oblivious. Wanna make an escape to a place far away, but I don't know where would I go. I'm in a prison cell with this world and these fists. There should be raising hell. Should be out on the road with a truck for a home, but I got no get up and go. I'm a layabout, so what no one's got much at all to say about. I'm a sweater and rack, I've got no self-respect.
vacation. I'm gonna make a hard reset. Be the best person I've been yet. I'll get my ass up off the ground and leave this bumfuck empty town. So won't you please come on with me to make sure I keep living free, so I don't sink into despair and end up here back in my chair.
You just heard Hard Reset by Ant Eater Eater, and we are back on CITR 101.9 FM with Feeling Sounds. I have Ant Eater Eater here with me in the studio. Hey guys, I really liked that song.
Me too.
So, do you guys, like, does one of you write all the songs, or do you kind of like write them all together?
Usually I prep material before practice and bring it to the guys and like, semi-complete form. Usually I'll have like a guitar part written out for myself and then lyrics done, and we'll go over things together. There were certain like songs where I would write a specific part and then we'd build from there. Like, we can talk about it later maybe, but Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, I wrote the full bass part before anything else in the song, and then I brought that to Connor and Daniel. This was before Gabe was here. I should mention, we recorded this EP before Gabe joined the band.
Oh, really?
While we were still a three-piece. But yeah, usually our process is that I'll write material out, and then we'll workshop it together, and then that'll become our final product.
Okay, and when you songwrite, like, because you said you had one song where you started with the bass part, and then usually it's guitar and vocals, do you feel like you just get inspiration from, like, various different things that cause you to want to start with a different instrument?
Usually, I go through sort of a cycle of playing and practicing different instruments as like a mini obsession. So I'll spend a long time like focusing really hard on practicing playing bass or practicing playing guitar or practicing drums. And it kind of depends what I'm playing most often. And usually that instrument will be the first thing that I write something on. And then that becomes the basis for a song.
Okay, that's really cool. And I want to ask, so you were a three-piece and then Gabe joined the band. How did that go down?
Gabe DM'd us on Instagram after our EP came out. And they said, basically just like, if you need a second guitarist, like, I really like your stuff and I'd like to jam with you sometime. And then I just send him back like, that would be awesome.
Wait, that's so cool.
I should mention we had some mutual friends, so I was aware of their existence.
But you guys weren't friends before.
No,
you were like a fan, and then you became part of the band. That's so cool.
Our friend Monica, who I was in another band with.
Yeah. Okay, so cool. And basically after that interaction, I came for one rehearsal and. I don't know how you guys felt, but I felt that it went great. and the rest is history.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yes. So while we were off the air, you were mentioning the process of recording this EP, and I just wanted to ask you to say that again on the air so that the people listening can hear about it.
Yeah, well, this song was the first one that I was able to convince them to use a click track for it.
Oh, my goodness.
The first one, Bloody Nose, which I'm sure we'll hear at some point. They're just like, okay, we'll record the guitar and bass part together first. And, like, we can keep time pretty well, right? Like, we'll just do it.
You always think you can.
And then you can record the drum part over it. Okay. And I think Callum wants to get a word in on this story.
It's just funny because it's also a byproduct of us learning as we went, because the reason we didn't have a click track for Bloody Nose was because I didn't know how to automate tempo in Ableton.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, it speeds up, so we'll be off time if we set a click track at the beginning, so we'll just play without one.
Yeah. No,
and
I think
then we figured
awesome.
That out. But it's just like, this is really a a window into a band learning how to record themselves.
Yeah, I think that's really great. So I wanted to ask, like, how your guys's band before Gabe joined, like, how you guys started, and then you kind of had this idea, like, let's just self-produce this EP. And like, I love how motivated you were to do that. But yeah, how did you guys like start playing together?
How did we start?
We were out.
Well, originally, I used to play with Callum and Daniel, but I played with them separately. And then one day I went to Callum and I was like, I have this drummer you should meet. we should jam together.
No,
well, you two knew each other, but we had never played together before.
I know the actual story. It's funny.
Okay, well,
the actual story.
The actual story is that we all, for New Year's of 2020, we were all at Connor's house, and we were out on like a long expedition that lasted until like 4 a.m. And it was Daniel and I. It was Daniel and I who spoke
first. What kind of expedition are we talking about?
So we were all staying over at Connor's place on New Year's Eve of 2020, and we basically made like a trek all around Esquimalt and then back around to Connor's before getting 1 hour of sleep. We got home at 4 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Woke up at 5 to go watch the sunrise at High Rock Park in Esquimalt. We had to bus all the way from Connor's place, which is in View Royal. That's like, how long did it take us? Like an hour to bus all the way there?
I'm sure you all know these places.
Yeah.
As
all the Vancouver listeners are very familiar with Victoria.
Anyway, in the morning, Daniel and I were getting on the same bus to go back into Esquimalt. We only live about 15 minutes away from each other. And I just said to him, like, I'd mentioned the night before in some sort of haze that I wanted to start a band. And then I said, do you actually want to start a band? And he was like, yeah, that'd be cool.
That's a beautiful story. And I wonder, I feel like a lot of the time, you know, you'll get together with musician friends and then you'll jam together. But I feel like transitioning from doing that and playing covers to actually like let's write our own music, and that's like, let's take this very seriously. Like, what was that like for you guys? Were you all like pretty committed to doing that in the beginning, or did you kind of just feel it out?
In the beginning, we mainly did covers, but as we wrote new songs, that motivated us to write more and start slowly moving away from covers. And I think our long-term goal is to be able to have a full set list where it's just our songs and we don't need to use cover songs for filler. Well, that's not really... We like doing covers. We like doing covers.
Audiences love them.
Yeah. We want more originals to play than covers we want to play.
And I think it's also, you want the audience to be as excited about your originals
definitely.
The covers.
You want everyone to know all the words that you wrote. That's the dream.
And like, I can speak on like what you're saying about the difference between like having musicians that you're playing with and having like a band, because I've had lots of quote unquote bands like in the past, like even like a group that I played with for like a solid year, and like it just didn't like go anywhere, because like even though we were playing together, like it wasn't getting past that. But like, you can sort of feel like when there's something more than just a group of musicians. And I think definitely the first time I played with these guys, it was there.
That's beautiful. I love that. That's awesome. I have another question, but I'll save it for after the next song. Let's listen to the next song on the EP. Do you guys want to introduce it and like what it's about?
My favorite musicians.
So we've been known to do a lot of Frights covers in this band, and that's what inspired the title for All My Favorite Musicians Are Sexual Predators, parentheses, beat song.
I love that title. Yeah. Like, that one really caught my eye for sure.
It was I wrote this song over a long period of time. I'll speak on it after we listen to it. But this was during a hiatus where I was listening to a lot of material. Like, I had a lot of free time to listen to music, and I was gravitating to surf rock and surf punk a lot. And so the Frights were one of them. But there was a whole like group of bands that I was listening to and pulling inspiration from. And then one after another, they just all turned out to be like shit people.
Oh,
and
God.
So the title comes from that frustration of like, these are all my favorite musicians and they all suck.
Okay.
And then we put parentheses beach song at the end so we didn't have to say the full title if we felt that it might not get a good reaction.
True. That's smart. Thinking ahead. I love that. Okay. Well, I'd love to hear more about how you wrote it after we take a listen. So this is All My Favorite Musicians Are Sexual Predators, Beach Song by Anteater Eater. Hope you guys enjoy.
Fair love someone's ever.
about that I can't quit. I try to air it out. Sometimes I look at myself just to ask if he's okay. No, no. It's only sex. It's only party drugs. A bad offense. Believe me, that fuzz and they eat away from the inside out. Oh, how is it fair? How is it fair? How is it fair to love someone who's never really met? Oh, oh. Oh.
Well, that was very beachy. That song was called All My Favorite Musicians Are Sexual Predators, Beach Song by Anteater Eater. And we are back in the studio with Anteater Eater. So Callum, you were saying you were going to tell us more about how you wrote that song and how it was a long process.
I think between, yeah, I guess it would have been March of 2020 when we first had to stop practicing until, I think, was it July when we started again? Feels like a long time. But we had a hiatus where we couldn't rehearse. So this was basically the one thing that I was writing for the majority of that time. I spent a while writing stuff for another project of mine called The Crossing Guards, and I put out a few EPs under that name. But this was like the one thing I was working on for the band. Mm-hmm. And it went through a lot of different stages, mostly based on what I was listening to at the time, like I mentioned before. It started out as sort of an REM style, like 80s college rock song.
Okay.
And morphed into this beachier feeling once I started, you know, listening to more surf rock. And I think it was like a 3-month process to get it fully done. And I don't think it was fully realized until we started rehearsing it together.
Damn. So you a very well crafted song, lots of thought put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not only since my joining, but also just like through practice and live, not only this song, but like all the songs have taken even more form and gone through even more tweaking. And I feel like that's a good thing to be able to do as a band, and also just like a sign of being musicians that click, is that if you can play the same song over and over again and not playing it the same time, the same way every single time. So that's fun.
Yeah, that's really cool. So that's a great segue. I wanted to ask you guys about the reason you're in Vancouver today is to play a live house show. Are you guys excited for that?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I don't know about these three.
Have you played a house show before?
Why don't I let someone else speak?
We've played backyard shows and garage shows, but we've never played in a house before.
We played live at the Salvation Army.
Really?
For the grand opening. Shows. Yeah.
The grand opening of the Salvation Army.
The grand opening of the Rehabilitation Center.
That's awesome. How did you guys get that gig?
My aunt, like, worked on it.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So have you guys played a lot of gigs around Victoria? And if you have, which was your favorite?
We haven't really played a lot of gigs, to be honest, just because of COVID. We haven't been able to get out there very much. But we did a show at Callum's house over the summer, right at the heat wave, when it was like 35 degrees out.
Oh my goodness.
And we spent the day like setting up, and then, yeah, we played in the 35 degree heat, and it was kind of awful, but it was a lot of fun.
I must give myself whiplash. Gabe got a full body sunburn, but that
wait. How did you almost give yourself a whiplash?
It was during the last song.
Headbanging too hard.
Yeah, actually, I was already overheated and like pretty tired. And then during this last leg of Josh was a teenage hand model, one of our last things, I was like fully like bending to my toes and bringing myself back up over my guitar.
Oh my goodness.
And after the show, I just had like this terrible crick in my neck. We went to an after party where I just sat on the ground and held an ice pack
against
my shoulder.
Dedicated to the performance, though. Yeah. I respect that. That's cool. I'm very excited to see you guys play tonight. So when this interview airs, it'll be Wednesday, and we're recording it on Saturday the 25th, so we're not going to be spoiling anything for the listeners. Can you tell me a little bit about what's on the agenda for your set tonight?
Ooh.
You don't have to spoil too much.
Yeah, we have audience members here, but...
Just give me like a little bit of a taste, nothing too detailed.
We're playing quite a bit of new material, including new covers and new original songs.
Cool.
We have a relatively long set. It's pretty well rounded, and also like it's like we have enough material now that we can actually like curate our sets to like be like, okay, we want this kind of energy and we want this here and this there instead of just putting together all our songs. Yeah, we do have a whole three microphones.
The first time.
Wow. Well,
not for the first time, but the first time where for all three microphones have worked the best. Hopefully. Hopefully.
I hope they work.
Is, like, each of us sings lead and one's
up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. So I sing lead most of the time, and then Apples and Oranges, which we put out over the summer, is sung by Connor.
And I'm doing a cover that I'm very excited to do.
I'm not going to spoil that one.
Hopefully, it's a segue for something that we're talking about later, I assume, but we do have an LP in the works, and hopefully...
We could talk about it now.
Sure, hopefully, we're going to... Basically, the plan is to compile 10 tracks of... probably going to re-record some EP tracks with me now. Yeah. We have some new songs that we've performed but haven't recorded yet, and... we're working on one more that we still haven't written, but I think it's going to be a nice change of pace, as in there's going to be more opportunity for lead vocals coming from me, Connor, and Callum.
Daniel doesn't like to sing.
Daniel's like Stacey's mom.
We'll see, you know, but the point is, like, we've got more well-rounded instrumentation, we've got more experience, and the plan is to have way more equipment at our disposal.
Are you still planning to record like at the home studio, like same way as last time?
We would love to take it to the next step. I do have connections at a local studio that I've worked with before and had positive experiences with, so we're considering maybe doing that.
Cool.
We want the LP to sort of be like our first project that's like, yes, this is us, this is what we sound like, and this is what it's gonna be.
That's really cool.
We're jumping ahead a little bit because we're planning to compile like a demo tape and shop it around to get funding.
Oh, cool.
So I won't like talk about it too much, but we have a few like local labels in mind that we're hoping to collaborate with to get a wider release. We'd really like to do some physical media, like CDs definitely, maybe vinyl if we, you know, get in touch with a label that can offer that.
Wow, exciting. Yeah. That's very exciting. And do you have any idea when this LP is going to be coming out, or is that not really in the cards yet?
I want to say, just judging by the pace that we've been working at now, within the next year.
Cool.
It all is dependent on our ability to realize our plans, but we're not stopping working on it at any time.
Okay. So, that's very exciting. And so you guys, your band like formed when you were all in high school, and some of you have graduated now, but you're all planning on staying in the same area, so you can still
we'll see. We're here, all of us are here for sure for the next year.
Okay.
After that it's a bit up in the air.
Yeah.
But we will see.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, so we're going to take a quick break for some ads and PSAs, and then we'll be right back with CITR 101.9 FM.
Red Cap Records is an amazing artist-owned and operated record store. Shop from their diverse online music collection and get free shipping within Vancouver and the Lower Mainland with the purchase of two or more LPs. If you would like to further support them through the evolving COVID-19 crisis, you can do so by buying a gift card to use at a later date. Visit www.redcat.ca for more information.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
And we are back with Feeling Sounds on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Sarah, and I'm here doing an interview with the band Anteater Eater. And what do you guys say we listen to a couple more of the songs from your EP?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Cool. Yeah, sure. So the next two.
The next two are Bloody Nose and my personal favorite on the EP, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Why is that your personal favorite?
It's, I like the lyrics, for one, but I took a liking to it because this summer I was in Boston at Berklee College of Music, and I had lots of performance opportunities. And I did some of Anteater songs by myself, acoustically. And that one was the one I had the most fun with and got the most praise from my audiences. So I've developed an emotional attachment to it. Connor, do you have something to say?
It's also got a killer bass line.
So can't wait to hear it.
Without further ado.
Here it is. So this first one is called Bloody Nose by Anteater Eater.
Than stay for a drink. I fear the night's going on, and I think I know just where it went wrong. 'Cause when you got here, you cut through the noise with your echoing stomps and your last cracking voice. I'll give you my number just to be polite. And you've been calling me for the past 53 nights. Don't you know when to just shut your mouth? Call it quits when you call out.
Christ, do you ever shut up?
Liked that little at the end of the song there. But yeah, so that was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous by Anteater Eater. Before that, you heard Bloody Nose by Anteater Eater. And we are back with Feeling Sounds on CITR 101.9 FM. So do you guys want to tell me a little bit about those two songs?
Yeah.
No.
Bully Knows, like I mentioned, was the first song that we practiced together and the first song we recorded together. It's pretty rough, but we have a lot of fondness for it. It's a lot of fun to play live, especially kind of taking this song that is a little rough in the recording and then making it like as tight as we can for the audience. And those kind of speed up, slow downs and builds are really accentuated when we are playing as, you know, a more well-rounded ensemble.
Yeah, I can see how that would bring a lot of energy to the audience. I'm excited to see that tonight. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
And then what about Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Off the air, you said you thought of that one when you were washing dishes.
Yeah. I worked at the Red Barn Market, which is like a chain of grocery stores on Vancouver Island for probably 3 years. And I spent a good portion of a lot of my shifts washing dishes in the back of the deli. And I don't remember exactly when it had popped into my head, but I'd heard something about the TV show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which I don't know much about. But the title struck me as like kind of strange and alluring. So I wanted to write something around it. And the first line I came up with was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, don't slow down or your kids might replace us.
Mm.
And that kind of spread into this narrative and commentary on like fame and people who will do anything to keep it.
Okay.
And yeah, that's probably why it's one of my favorite songs lyrically that we have, is because instead of, you know, writing a guitar part or writing, well, I did write the bass part very early on, but this was one of the first times that I'd finished a full lyric sheet before like finishing anything else. And it was because I had like a strong idea for what I wanted it to be.
So I have a follow up. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that as famous musicians, the song is very relevant to us.
Yeah. That was what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, how do you guys feel about the concept of fame?
I don't know. Well, we do have 91 monthly listeners on Spotify.
So you're familiar.
So, yeah.
In all seriousness, I don't know. Being like a DIY band, I think there is like a little bit of like a, you know, a thing about like, you know, staying like DIY and like not selling out. But like, I assume I speak for all of us when it's a for fun thing.
Yeah.
Like fame, money, success is definitely not a priority of ours, but we're also not purists about keeping it that way. You know, like wherever it takes us is wherever it's going to take us.
Cool.
I think, yeah, our ambitions have grown a lot since we've started rehearsing more seriously and trying to book these larger gigs. So, you know, the feeling of wanting to be rich and famous is not like an ultimate goal, but I do, you know, really want to be able to play in front of a crowd of people who like recognizes and appreciates something that we're doing, because as an artist who gets fulfillment out of people responding to their work, you kind of have an urge to spread that as far as you can.
Definitely. And I think that, I mean, at the show tonight, there will be a fair amount of people who haven't heard your guys' stuff before, which is really cool too. But there's also like, you have this live audience here of fans. those of us who live in this house, like we all bought your t-shirt, we're all fans of the music. But yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So you mentioned you have a show coming up on Halloween. Do you want to tell me about that one?
This will be our second Halloween show. We did one last year in Calm's Garage, and we wanted to continue and do another one because last year was a ton of fun, and we thought that we'd step it up a notch this year. So this year, through Gabe's connections, we've actually booked a proper venue, and we have two other bands playing with us, and we're super excited.
That's really exciting.
I should plug those bands just out of courtesy. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's two local bands in Victoria called Standard Issue Pleasure Model and Red Hill. I recommend checking both of them out.
Cool. And do you guys, like, how do you know these other bands? Do you like, know a lot of bands in the area and you have, like, a community, or how?
Well, it's becoming that way. Through doing more shows and being around for longer, we're making more connections. And also just as we sort of age out of, like, the high school period, and just this being more of something that we're doing seriously, we're finding other people that are also doing that. I know Red Hill, Callum wants to speak.
Oh.
Fixing the mic for me. I know that Red Hill, we have mutual friends in the band, all of us, I think. Red Hill, know Standard Issue Pleasure Model,
okay,
which has created that connection. And there's a relatively large scene in Victoria to a degree that, like, I've noticed, like, a lot of Vancouver bands will, like, want to play in Victoria. I've just found, like, the more that you're around, the more connections you make, and connections breed other connections, and that's part of the beauty of being in the musician scene.
Yeah.
Is there's, like, just all, there's so many friends to make.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. So there's one more song on your I Hate That I Do It But I'm Not Gonna Stop EP. It's called Josh Was a Teenage Hand Model. Do you guys want to give that one a listen? Maybe introduce it a bit?
Definitely.
Oh, also, I wanted to ask, how did you name your band Anteater Eater? Where'd that come from?
It was just me and my other friend. We were just like sitting on the bus talking about stuff, and somehow we came up with this, and I was like, man, that's a really good band name.
It's a really good band name, I have to say. I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah.
Cool. So Josh Was a Teenage Hand Model. Shall we listen, or do you want to introduce it first?
I can do a quick intro.
Okay.
This is a song that's been really special to me for a long time. It's been my favorite Queens of the Stone Age song for a while, which has become complicated if you've heard any news about the band, which I won't go into too much. But I was rehearsing it for the first time to try and, like, bring it to the band when I got news that a friend of mine had passed away.
Oh.
This was a while ago now. It was, like, a year back.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but I just kind of developed this emotional connection to it that made me want to, put it as the closer to the album, because after doing this whole recording and making this first major project with the band, it felt like kind of a culmination of something that was really special to me, and I wanted to have this nugget of, like, you know, emotional music.
Yeah,
at
definitely.
The end. So just production wise this is probably the one that I put most work into out of all the tracks here. I think we recorded it with a lot more instrumentation and individual tracks than any other song. I think no song other than this one exceeded 8, and this one has over 20 tracks.
Wow. Okay. And is the original song called Josh Was a Teenage?
It was called I Was a Teenage Hand Model.
Okay. Who's Josh?
Josh is Josh Homme, the lead singer of Queens of the Stone Age.
I see.
We originally titled it to avoid copyright claims.
Okay, love that.
But we did eventually decide to buy the cover license.
Good idea. Cover
yeah.
Your bases.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, let's give it a listen. So this is Josh Was a Teenage Hand Model, covered by Anteater Eater. Here goes. are back. That was Josh Was a Teenage Hand Model, covered by Ant Eater Eater. And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Feeling Sounds, and I'm Sarah, and I have Ant Eater Eater here with me right now. I really liked that song. And Callum, you said you got whiplash from headbanging to that song. I'm surprised.
Not quite, but it was definitely a bad neck experience for the next few days.
I'm surprised that, like, when you said that before, I was imagining like a very fast-paced song where you're like headbanging. But
I think it was the combination of like, it was a combination of the last three songs that we played, because there was like definitely a change of pace, because we had like a high energy song, that, and then another really high energy song, and that was really hard on my body.
Yeah, I think I said on the air, but I also said off air, that I was having a pretty like hard emotional experience on stage that day.
Fair.
I was like super overheated, playing a song that was like really emotionally tough for me, and also trying to like keep up this show that was going on. And so that whole like full body headbang was just me like shaking off all this energy.
It's a good technique. All right, so we're actually running out of time today on Feeling Sounds. We're getting right up to that 1 hour point. But it's been very lovely to have you guys here today. Is there any last things you want to say as Ant Eater Eater on live radio?
You gotta get out of your shell, yeah. Daniel.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming. I'm so glad that you could.
We all of our music that we've released up to this point is like anywhere that you listen to music. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, Tidal, probably MySpace at this point.
MySpace.
Check out the new remastered version of I Hate This But I'm Not Gonna Stop. And
that's not what it's called.
I hate that I do this, but I'm not gonna stop. And
close enough.
Make sure to keep an eye out for new music in the future. Hopefully we'll have an album sometime in the future.
Christmas single, that's gonna be great.
A kringle, if you will. Before we go, I think we have one more song.
Yeah, we're gonna play this song as we fade out. Hopefully we don't run out of time, but
this is our summer single, Apples and Oranges.
Cool. Do you want to say a few things about it before we sign off?
This is a Connor song.
Yeah, I sung this song, and we kind of wrote it kind of as a group.
You came up with the funny stuff.
It started with this guitar lick that Calum came up with, and then I came up with a bass line to it, and it was during a practice one day, and we were just jamming, and I just started saying
about fruit,
singing nonsensical stuff into the mic, and Calum kind of
translated it,
and this is what the song became.
Awesome.
And we're really happy with it. This is our summer song.
Cool. All right, so we're going to play Apples and Oranges by Ant Eater Eater, and this will be the last you guys hear of Ant Eater Eater. So again, thank you guys so much for... Well, no, okay. That, I mean on the show today. I should have clarified. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to Feeling Sounds. My name is Sarah, and come tune back in next week at 4 p.m. on Wednesday for more good tunes. But yeah, here is Apples and Oranges by Ant Eater Eater. Cool.
Flowers Hi.